Episode 192 of the Hogan Johns podcast is brought to you by Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet in Glen Ellen. Johnsy, I gotta tell you, it was snowing this morning. The Tahoe was just crushing the outbound Edens from downtown back up to Hallis Hall. Just snowstorm, no big deal.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you got one of the biggest automobiles on the street.
You can't stop the
expressway.
Tahoe. Can't stop
cruising.
It. For value and integrity, it has to be Haggerty. JerryHaggertyChevrolet.com. Go see them in Glen Ellen. Do it. And if you do, please tell them that Hogan Johns sent you. Should we talk about bears and helicopters and field goal practices?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed.
Tariq Cohen trying to find a hole, and he's into the end zone for a Bears touchdown. Allen Robinson, touchdown Bears!
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hope.
I'm the greatest man in the world!
What he just said.
Damn!
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Foul!
I'm not a tactician, I'm a motivator.
Go, two fouls!
That's the gospel.
Yes!
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Wide open, Anthony Miller slips a tackle. Miller to the end zone, touchdown Bears! And to the end zone, touchdown Mitchell Trubisky! And he's going to go in for a Chicago touchdown.
Obsession.
My, oh my.
Being obsessed.
And now.
What time is it?
Here they are.
Perfection.
The Adams.
Yeah, baby.
Hogan Johns.
From Peoria, Illinois.
Exactly. You know it.
And we're still not from Peoria. But we are from Chicago. You're Chicago Bears. That's what this is. Hogan Johns, episode 192.
Some folks didn't like that we kind of ragged on Peoria. The Peoria natives, of course.
Well, they didn't like that you said it was on the way to Iowa.
It kind of is.
It's not on the way to Iowa. It's on the way
It depends what part you're going to in Iowa.
It's on the way to Missouri.
There you go. I've never been through Peoria. Looks like a nice quaint American town.
We established that.
Yes.
Yeah. Tuesday episode, which I hope everybody enjoyed. It was fun doing that. I think we got mostly a good response. I mean, for the record, that's my computer in front of me just sort of
crashes.
No idea what just happened. You know what? You Google Peoria and your computer breaks. That's what I just learned. Peoria is like at the bottom. If you were to draw a line from the bottom of Iowa, so the Iowa-Missouri border, straight
east. That's why I said, depends where you're going in.
It would be way out of your way to go. No. No. Unless you're like, no. No. You're not going through Peoria.
Okay.
This is wrong.
Where is Southern Illinois, Carbondale? What if you're coming
Carbondale? It's the southern part of Illinois.
What if you're going from Carbondale to Iowa? Would you go through Peoria?
Why would you ever be coming from Carbondale?
Just saying. What if I'm in Carbondale?
No, I'm not even going to look this up. This is dumb.
Okay. I think you would.
I think you'd be going, I don't care.
So take that and think about that for a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Bears and not random towns in Illinois. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogan, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe with an R-O.
Getting after it this week, baby.
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Oh, no. Hi, Joey Jojo!
Ernie Scatton's the guy who handles our opens and got us on that Peoria train. WGNradio.com/Bears is where you can read me. Chicago Sun-Times is where you can read Johnsy. Please search Hogan Johns on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn. The whole deal, it's there. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Where do you want to start?
Sorry, we could not calculate transit directions from Carbondale, Illinois to Iowa.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. You just start talking about helicopters. I'm going to do it.
Well, you're doing something on your computer. So are you like writing a story while you're recording? We had to record later today. The Bears held a big press conference this morning to announce their plans for their 100th season.
I was there.
Which I find this confusing. Are the Packers celebrating their 100th season now or next year?
Yeah. So there's like, it's their 100th season of existence, but it's think next year is their...
Well, the league's only 99 years
I know, I know. It's we're making it more complicated than we need to be. I think, let's just call it their centennial year or something.
But George McCaskey made a very clear point that they're the only team celebrating it at the same time as the NFL.
As the league. Well, it's...
like, which was clearly a shot at the Packers.
Absolutely. Which is, yeah,
but I was... it just got me confused about...
And Pat Finley was trying to explain to me in our Bears Beat Live video at the Sun Times what the difference was, too. And I'm just... I get it. I think it's the year they actually started playing as opposed to the year they were founded or something like that.
Okay.
Take it how you may. Big party next year. That's all I know. Big party.
Well, there's going to be like a whole fest.
Rosemont like, Horizon? Not
like
Horizon.
It sounds like...
Convention Center. Donald Stevens Center, I believe.
I mean, it sounds like it's going to be like a Sox Fest or Cubs Convention or Blackhawks
Convention. Yes.
That kind of deal.
I don't know if it's going to be a yearly thing because I've always thought they viewed training camp as such where you have literally weeks of celebration down there
mm-hmm.
with the actual team there. You don't need to make extra arrangements, but this is going to be special. You got a lot of 85 Bears who still live around the area, still work in the media. A lot of alums live around here still. Some coach at Carmel High School not too far from here. It's going to be good.
Okay. Just for the record, if you were to go from Carbondale to Iowa City...
I got the thing here. You don't have to go through Peoria.
You would go through St. Louis and then up Missouri. But, I don't know. Let's try Davenport just for fun. Davenport, Iowa. Ooh, you go through Peoria.
Boom.
So technically... if you were for some reason going from Carbondale to Davenport,
you would go through Peoria. You know what? I should make a trip to Peoria now. I feel like we should go watch some state championship basketball.
No, I don't.
What do you got against state championship basketball? What if Ignatius happens to make a miraculous run to the state title game?
No.
It can happen.
Dude, I saw there's someone from Ignatius on Wisconsin's basketball team.
Yeah.
Carter Higginbottom.
They've had people go D1 before.
Well, yeah, a family friend, Dan Fahey, was a walk-on there a few years ago, but I didn't know they had another one.
Mm-hmm. What is the other guy that went to Illinois? Nana Agwu.
Well, he was a legitimate player.
He's big. Tall.
Huge.
Length.
A lot of guys, I wonder if he's playing in Europe. All right. Let's start with our voicemails, then we'll get to Helicopter Gate. All right. I shouldn't do that. That's so lazy to add the word gate to just some random word. That's lazy. We should mention. We're recording. Yeah, this is what I'm getting at, guys. We're recording later in the day. All three of us have been up since the way before dawn.
Yes, we're crabby.
I mean, Joe's always up before dawn because he works the morning show, so he's used to rolling his eyes while we complain about being tired. But I was up at 3:30. You apparently were up at 2:30 with your son.
Yes. Oh, that's another story.
Sorry about that.
Yes.
Usually,
no, he's perfectly fine. He just decided to be.
Well, yeah, you used
a stubborn little. Yeah.
Yeah, you used a not so nice word.
No, I love my son.
Well, there's
no
doubt.
I'm not going to say that on the recording.
There's no doubt.
He may
about
hear
that.
This 10 years from now.
Okay.
Well, someone will hear him.
That's why I'm not going to make you repeat it. Not going to make you repeat
it. 7-year-old son. We love you, buddy.
We're dragging here a little bit. Well, we're gonna get through this. 5-star effort here on the Hogan Johns podcast.
Hey, if they could play 3 football games in 12 days, we could do 3 podcasts in 4 days, 5 days, whatever it is, and very little sleep.
There you go.
Dig deep. Find it.
If Cody
find
Parkey,
your YBU.
If he could have a full day at Halas Hall, then go down in traffic to Soldier Field and kick at night and then come all the way back. Then we can get through this.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's hear our voicemails from Sunday. The Bears won. Mitch Trubisky was good. Let's hear what you had to say.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail.
The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Mike calling in from Denver, Colorado. Lions fans are some of the biggest shit talkers in the NFL. Carve them up, Mitch. Get a few sack lunches and call it a day for a sexy division win. Bear down, baby.
Ben from Milwaukee here. Hey, Joey, JoJo. Breaking Bad's not overrated. You are. Go Bears.
Honky Cat, John the Babe, Jimmy Joe Rowe, Bob Dabrowski here. Calling in from the Cadillac Club at Soldiers Field. Boys, I'm sitting out here. I'm watching a little pregame warm-ups, and I got a couple words for you. Five or six. Return of the Max. He's putting Stafford on his back. I'm going to predict a score honoring the old-time good Bear, Roosevelt Colvin, 59-6 Chicago Bears.
Joey from College Station, and for inaccurate quarterback, Trubisky really just threaded the needle out of Robson at that second drive of the first quarter. Bear down.
Marlon from Flint, Michigan, man. Hey, I was critical of Mitch, but Mitch doing his thing. He lighting the Lions up, lighting their ass up. Yeah.
Hello, this is Scott from Seattle. Hey, Parkey, hitting the pole is not good like it is in baseball. Thanks.
Hugo from Indianapolis. Looks like you can tell Lombardi to shove that keyhole up his ass.
David and Denver, our special teams and penalties after the play are terrible. What's Paul Edinger up to?
John in Buckeye, Arizona. Mitch is our quarterback. Michael Lombardi should probably just shut the fuck up.
Rahul Chatterjee calling from a dive bar in San Francisco watching these Bears bear down. By my count, it's Mitch Trubisky hitting 22 out of 30 keyholes. Shout out to Lombardi and also at Joey Joe Rowe. Breaking Bad overrated. Such a fail. Bear down.
Bill from Iowa. I will bet if Cody Parkey took a random walk around Soldier Field, he'd run into the goalpost. Go Bears.
Pete from Chicago. This is an OCD person's dream game. There were four kicks that hit the upright, one punt that landed perfectly on the 50-yard line, and one punt that landed perfectly on the goal line. You gotta enjoy the little things.
Tom from New Jersey. Hogue, Johns, JoJo, Roro. Cody Parkey needs to get cut. Four missed field goals hitting off the field goal post. Just cut him already. Go Bears.
Will from Vegas. Mike Lombardi better be watching his door, his doorknob, and his keyhole, because Mitchell Trubisky is coming for it. Bear down.
Steve from Mundelein. Bears are in first place. Bears are in the race. Mac is in your face. Thank you, Ryan Pace. Go Bears.
That was good.
A little poetry there.
I like it. Can you shove a keyhole up a different hole? It's not a key. It's the keyhole.
The keyhole. Well, if you're using the entire, I guess, handle or
it's very uncomfortable.
Yes, yes. That would not feel good.
The keyhole thing is just great. I mean, it's so much ammunition there for us.
Yes, yeah.
And the Filene's basement. Yes. I mean, I had a blast with it, I have to admit.
So Rick Tellinger had a great line in his column. Start talking. Let me find it real quick.
Okay. You don't tell me to start talking. What is this? Lombardi was on, and this is the whole Michael Lombardi thing, and look, bad timing for him. We all have takes, and we obviously disagreed with Michael Lombardi's take last week, but to come back and have the game that Mitch did, his best game of the season, that was bad timing for Michael Lombardi. I gotta say, he was on with Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, and he didn't back down, really. I was shocked. He sounded like a guy who, and he also revealed that he was a Deshaun Watson
guy. So I get it. Look, everybody wants to be proven right. He also was saying Trubisky wasn't throwing completed passes over 10 yards. What has he been watching?
Yeah, that, okay. I'm glad you said, so you heard the interview too.
Yes.
If he wanted to say, and I thought it was fair. If he wants to, he said he wants to see it against a good defense, and he admitted if he goes out and has a good game against the Vikings on Sunday night, then maybe his opinion will start to change. And the reality is the best defense the Bears have faced so far this season, the Bills. The Bills are good defensively. That's a real defense. Let's not knock that defense because the rest of the team sucks. But Mitch didn't have a great game against the Bills. It was not a great offensive showing. It wasn't a terrible game for Mitch, but it wasn't one of his good games. So I'm with him on that. Prove it against the Vikings Sunday night. Okay, I can agree with that. But what you just said is where I had a problem listening to his interview. Because he brought up these stats about completion percentage, right over 10 yards it is. I don't care about the stats. He was pinpoint accurate throughout that entire game on Sunday. Whether it was 5 yards, which still matters on the run, 15 yards, 20 yards downfield, he threw an unbelievable pass to Allen Robinson, okay, on that second drive. The next pass to Ben Broniker, both of those were over 15 yards, were great passes. I thought one of his better throws was the one to the end zone to Taylor Gabriel that was incomplete, where the defensive back batted it down.
Over 10
yards.
That
was a dime. That was a dime. I think it was 35, 39 yards, something like that. It was a great throw. And I know that you thought, and agree with Matt Nagy, that his best throw was the Anthony Miller on one that he dropped. That was also more than 10 yards downfield.
I think it was over 20.
That's just wrong. That's
the Dolphins game, you could go on and on. The Buccaneers game, he's completed passes over 10 yards. A lot of them.
But you can't go on the radio and say you've watched the tape and then say that.
You know, it sounded like he didn't want to watch the tape. Like reading between the lines, reading the tea leaves, like he didn't watch the tape, didn't want to watch that
but
game.
But he's the one bringing it up. Well, if you watch the tape, you see this. Well, I don't know. Did you watch the tape from Sunday?
No.
Or did you just refuse to because you were so wrong?
Maybe he just wants to keep the mentions up. You know, nobody was really tweeting at him before. So now, since he said something about Trubisky, he, like, you know, has more friends now because everybody's getting after him.
Yeah, you know, look, it's probably part
think
of it.
They're friends.
Well, yeah, but like that's, we live in a hot take world. Oh. Everybody wants to be read. Everybody wants to be noticed. It is what it is. But Rick Tallner did adeptly point out that Filene's basement went bankrupt in 2011.
I was going to say, I tried to Google him.
Yeah. So
that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
The discount rack at Filene's basement.
It doesn't exist. Mm.
Well, I tried to Google Filene's basement. It randomly, oddly, took me to this webpage called ESPN.com where it showed that Mitch Trubisky is now fourth in QBR.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that happened on my computer. I can't explain it.
Yes.
But
there you go.
Okay.
Did you see the Pro Football Focus guys? You know?
I don't know. Like, they hate them too and they rank them like third to last or whatever.
Yeah.
What did they say?
Well, they're defending their process as well.
Oh, yeah. What was the thing I had a problem with them the other day? I forget.
See, look, I get what they do, and I don't want to sound like I'm bashing them, but every play involves context. It's not black and white. It's never black and white, you know? And you want to make a very nuanced game black and white, and I think it's very difficult to do sometimes.
Yeah. I'm not going to go down that. I already had my Pro Football Focus rant of the year earlier this year.
Rant of the year.
We don't need to do that again. I thought a very enjoyable thing happened last night. And it was, I thought, great PR for the Bears. And it was fun. And I think in general, it's just, it's cool that fun things are happening with the Bears. Okay? And of all the bad things that have happened, your kicker hitting the post 4 times in a game is incredible.
Incredibly. Define your definition. Incredible could mean a lot of different things.
Well, it's never happened before.
Yes.
I know that, but it's not a good thing.
No.
But then here's this positive thing that happened. So last night, WGN, and some of you know this, some of you might not. I do work for WGN TV, but WGN had their morning show primetime special, which I know is their morning show every once in a while does a primetime show just for fun. And it's basically a variety show. It's not news because they have a ton of fun. That's what they do. And I am very blessed that I have the opportunity to sometimes fill in for Pat Tomasulo on this show. And I have a blast every time I do it, including this morning. So Sarah Gindra, who does a great job in the traffic helicopter, Skycam 9, they do these things called flyovers, and I think it's every Friday. They have people I don't know, tweet in or email in or whatever they do requesting a flyover. And it's been everything from one random dude sitting in a chair in his boxers on a Friday morning and the helicopter comes over and they wave. To last night, Brother Rice is part of the show, this live show that was airing, Brother Rice High School on the south side. They had their football team and a bunch of students spell out WGN on the football field like a band would. And the helicopter flying over, and everybody waved. And that was all planned. Like, that was why the chopper was in the air. And then at the end of it, Sarah goes, "We're going to fly by Soldier Field because Cody Parkey's over there kicking field goals." And there it is.
There it is.
The Skycam 9 flying over Soldier Field. And perfect timing. Cody Parkey's out there. The best part was they're. They were running, like, they were on the sideline, and they were simulating it like it was a real kick. Like,
it's coming on the field, yeah.
So the holder, snapper, everybody's out there. They run out in the middle of the field, attempt a 43-yard field goal. Helicopter's buzzing over. Sarah even said, "We're trying to make it windier for him." And he drills a 43-yarder. And I'm excited because, first of all, this is great TV. So fun. It's just
yes,
fun.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
We don't have to take sports so seriously.
When I
all
saw
the time.
That on Twitter yesterday after you and Josh Friedman tweeted it, I was chuckling to myself. It was literally a laugh out loud situation.
It was just, we can have fun with sports.
The Bears are back.
Exactly. Do you remember, we keep bringing this up, I feel like, every week, the storylines from a year ago. And how ridiculously bad they were.
Yes. Were we on to Carlos Santos at this point?
We may have been.
Mike Nugent. Didn't Mike Nugent get a cup of coffee here? This is the point in the year, weren't we in Cincinnati, where Mike Nugent had his revenge game against the
Nugent?
Bengals?
You're right.
That happened.
Carlos Santos.
And Carlos Santos.
That happened. That sucked.
Well, you could argue that the kicker situation still hasn't figured it out, but... He drills a 43-yarder.
Sarah goes wild.
Sarah goes wild. Everybody's having fun with it. And I get excited because I'm like, this is going to be so awesome to use tomorrow morning when I'm filling in. And then it hit me like 10 seconds later. This totally violates the Bears' practice policy. I don't know if this counts as a real practice
well,
or not.
Number one, do they have like a subsection that deals specifically with helicopters usage?
I don't know.
Like, they have social media guidelines, but helicopter guidelines? Come on.
Look, I get it, and you don't want to open up Pandora's box. Tonight, he's going back there, and you'd have, like, five choppers.
Yeah. And well, it's like we would joke at Hallis Hall when the occasional helicopter would go like, through Lake Forest.
There's Mike McCarthy.
There goes Ted Thompson, or Brian Gutekunst, whatever his name is now.
Yeah. So I get it.
Gutekunst.
You don't want to start that, but I also was sort of wondering. So here's the deal. The Bears got involved. The videos had to come down off social media. And the practice, it violated the practice policy of what you can shoot at practice, which, it, you know, from the letter of the law and their policy, it did. And we couldn't show it this morning. ABC 7 had a chop or two. They couldn't show it at 10 o'clock last night. We couldn't show it at 9 and 10. And you just couldn't use it. That was bottom line. And so that was kind of disappointing and a little frustrating too. But, you know, I also understand that that's the policy. But I was kind of curious though, like if you're the Bears, why, you know, just let this one slide because it's good for you.
I think it's fun.
You know, think about it this way. What video did I have to use then? We had to show them missing the four field goals on Sunday instead of the one he made last night and the practice thing. And like, so fine. That's not that big of a deal. But... The problem,
I think, it speaks to the excitement that this town has for
right,
the team,
which
personally.
Is cool. But the problem was that because it violates the practice policy, other stations apparently were calling in.
Oh, okay.
I get that part. Like, yeah. Well, how come they? But okay.
Well, then you put your helicopter up there.
Yeah, exactly. Let's be honest about that. You got beat.
Yes. Yes.
You got me, and you're upset that you didn't think of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they can argue, oh, well, we decided not to do it because it violates practice policy.
Come on.
Yes, you didn't think of it.
Yeah, yeah. Little do you guys know that we actually had Mark Potash dressed up as a stadium worker sweeping the sidelines there. And wait till you see his cell phone video coming later today.
Oh, yeah?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh.
A Patsy special.
Yeah, the CBS hot air balloon was taking just a tad too long to get over.
Right.
Yeah, you know. The drone that they had to shoot up there.
It's just fun. So anyway, I guess in the end, I understand why the Bears had to shoot it down. Thankfully, they didn't shoot the helicopter just now.
Have you guys talked to him since yet?
Who?
Parkey?
Parkey, yeah.
No, I didn't see Parkey. Yeah. I did kind of joke around with Patrick Scales, though, today. In the locker room, because
did he notice the helicopter?
Oh yeah, and he was like, yeah, we were hoping we could get a ride home.
Yes,
which Sarah, for the record, offered this morning on the WGN Morning News to give them a ride down there today.
Yeah,
so they could take him up on it.
What an interview situation!
Because yes. That's got to be eerie, you know, like to be in an empty stadium like that. You know, and I know that they warm up and stuff with like a few people in there, but I don't know, man. At night?
Well, yeah, I know what you're saying.
They give me the heebie-jeebies.
Well, you warm up there in the morning knowing it's going to be filled later. Like, going in and out of... Even leaving Soldier Field at, like, 12 at night after a night game. It's a bit...
So, what different. I asked Chris Tabor about today, the Bears special teams coordinator, though, is... I kind of remember Robbie Gould used to talk about this. You aim at certain points in the stadium.
Like, seating?
Yeah, seating or points on the, like he mentioned the suites.
Certain landmarks.
He said there's letters on the suites at the one end zone. I think that'd be the south end zone. So just by practicing down there, you can pick landmarks from different hash marks, different yardages that you can kind of focus in on the more you practice there. So I definitely think there's an advantage to this. I don't think it was a waste of time. It probably should have been done beforehand. And to their credit, you know, like, instead of John Fox just being so damn stubborn about everything and, like, you know, they came out. Nagy said, like, you know, they didn't hide it. They said, yeah, we're going down there.
Yeah.
We're going down there. We're going to practice there. And Chris Tabor talked about it today. Cody Parkey talked about it yesterday. And they're embracing it.
I hope the specialists had fun with it.
Yeah.
I mean... Think about the road trips you've done with your friends before. Sometimes the funnest times in those road trips are actually in the car itself. Forget the location. Mm-hmm. It's what's going, it's the shenanigans in the car. So I hope they had a nice car ride down there dealing with traffic. I hope they had a nice dinner down there. Where, I don't know, Gino Giorgetti's, pick a place, RPM Steak, RPM Italian.
You think you went out for dinner too?
Yeah, Joe's, someplace nice. Why would you not go out to dinner
That's
down there?
That's a good
there?
Point.
I would. Nice Chicago dinner.
That's a good point.
Chicago cut. Smith and Lewinsky's, pick a place.
See, I'm kind of jealous. I didn't think about the helicopter. We could have been up there doing a Hogan John's special.
Podcast.
Primetime special. The Hogan John's primetime special podcast.
What I thought was
hovering
the most interesting
over Soldier
about Field. Your going the distance video to get the Cody Parkey stuff was how the field looked. You could tell it's being maintained. Something's happening there. Maybe it was resodded or something, but something's happening.
Well, they resodded it last week, I know.
Yes.
Before that game.
But there's a lot of lines in there.
I don't know what that is. I mean, it's obviously something to maintain the field.
Yes.
But anyway, bottom line, it's pretty awesome that there's helicopters flying over soldiers. This is the kind of stuff that happened in 85 with Jim McMahon flipping off the helicopter. Or mooning. Yeah. He mooned the
helicopter. Yes.
This is cool.
I think Jim McMahon actually tweeted about that today. And think about that. Jim McMahon is tweeting about a helicopter experience because the Bears just had a helicopter experience. The vibe is good.
It's just kind of unfortunate that we've reached this point in, you know, I guess it's the evolution of life where there has to be such strict...
Yes.
I specifically, and look, I'm a radio guy. I just fill in for TV sometimes. I feel sorry for them. They have so many restrictions. We have a lot of restrictions too. But like everything TV does is you need the camera footage.
Well, because Adam, that one time John Fox saw something in the background and they used it.
Siesta.
Just making a point.
You guys ever been in a helicopter?
No.
I have. My wife and I did it in Hawaii last time we went.
Bragger?
Bragger. You asked me. We were both scared to death, had never been in a helicopter before. It was the coolest thing ever. It was not cheap. I would do it again. I would have paid the money again to go right back up. That's how cool it was. Now, granted, I was in Hawaii, and the kind of stuff we flew around and was just unbelievably cool. But you know what? I always say we fly a lot. I think flying into Chicago is the coolest place we fly into.
Oh, especially now with the way the runways are set up.
So to be in a helicopter at night flying over Chicago must be awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. Like boat rides down the river are awesome. All great right. town. Great town we live in.
Hang on. I'm sending a text to Sarah Gindra to see if I can go up there with her tonight. Go watch Cody Parkey kick field goals. Yeah. Just kidding. Just kidding, Bears. Just kidding. All right. There's a big game on Sunday.
I think so.
Should we talk about that?
Let's do it.
All right.
Yes.
Kyle Fuller. Kyle Fuller's been playing really well.
We'll start there?
Well, okay. No, start with
he got some matchups coming.
Well, let's start with our big question. As much as I want to say, like, can the Bears run the football because that will help Mitch this week, they've proven that they can win without running the ball. So I think it would certainly,
they can do a lot of things without running the ball.
It would certainly help if they could figure out a running game, but I don't think it's the difference between winning and losing. Mm-hmm. What I do think could be the difference between winning and losing is protecting Mitch Trubisky, because I guess if we're going to give Lombardi any credit, Mitch does need to show that he can have that kind of performance, maybe not even that good, but a good performance against a good defense. And to me, it still is a matter of protecting him, making sure he's comfortable so his mechanics and his feet and his eyes can be in the same place and be in sync, and that starts with the protection. So this is a good defensive front for the Vikings. It's still sort of a makeshift offensive line that is playing okay from a pass protection. I'd say even good from a pass protection standpoint. But there's still breakdowns here and there. So to me, that's the biggest question in this game.
My question, I guess it's a macro look at this. When will Mitch Trubisky have a statement game? He's had his breakout games. He's had three really good games with the pass rating over 100, right? Yeah. I would even put the Patriots' performance as something, I don't want to call it exceptional, but good. You saw some things, right? You saw some moxie. But when is he going to have his statement game in terms of beating a good opponent? I don't know if it comes this week. Maybe it comes against the Rams. Maybe it's the Vikings later up there. Maybe it's the Packers again. When does he have a statement game? It could be this week. It may not be.
Well, you know, just looking at my own grades of Mitch this season, I mean, it's worth pointing out that the Packers game to start the year on Sunday Night Football wasn't his best. The game the following week against the Seahawks, which the Bears won comfortably, was not his best. Let's be honest, his first three games this year were not that great.
Well, he looks a completely different quarterback.
But since then, Bucs was good. Dolphins was very good. Jets, Bills, or the Jets game, not so much the Bills game, but then Lions. The point being, hasn't been on primetime TV. Has not been on a nationally televised game since early in the year when he was shaky. And it's my opinion, at least, that a lot of these other national opinions are being shaped on those games. Patrick Mahomes has looked pretty damn good when the Chiefs have been on primetime television.
Everybody's watching.
Mitch wasn't that great in those two games earlier this year. So the Bears have three out of their next four games. Three out of their next four games are... Two of them are night games. The other one is the Thanksgiving window, game. Everybody's watching. So these are the nationally televised games. These are the opportunities to quite frankly reverse the national narrative on Mitch Trubisky. Now he does have some guys in his corner. We talked about this.
Dan Orlovsky, Brian Baldinger.
Baldy's just loving the Bears. But you know, first and foremost, big opportunity for the Bears to win a big game at home on primetime, but also a good opportunity to Mitch to continue to shut
the Vikings are the most well-rounded opponent the Bears have faced this season. Look, the Patriots didn't have Gronkowski. You could make arguments against their defense. Yes, Tom Brady makes up for that, but they lost their starting running back early in the game. The Vikings, with their defense, getting better. They're not the in terms of like Trubisky being better as opposed to the beginning of the year. The Vikings defense has found its footing over the last five games.
Can I just object to that in one way?
Okay.
It's like everyone's forgetting about that Saints game a couple weeks ago. They got their ass kicked.
Yeah, but a lot of those were turnovers on the offense.
I don't care.
I think Drew Brees had like 125 passing yards. It was his worst performance. Well, not only this season, but there's some historical context there.
You're saying Drew Brees did? Well, yes. He didn't play bad. It's just the numbers weren't high because of how the game played out.
Yes.
Well, the Vikings played horribly, just as a team.
Yes. Yeah.
There was not
I remember vividly watching a pick six.
That was two games ago.
Yeah.
So they came back and they were in control against the Lions the whole time, but the Bears win over the Lions. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying they're not beatable. They're completely beatable. Well, the Bears might be the better team here, but
they're all around their opponent. Their last big game, because that was a Sunday night game, right? I think it was a Sunday night game.
Yeah, I think it was.
The Saints. The Minneapolis Miracle rematch. They laid an egg. They laid an absolute... Now, maybe that'll motivate them in this one. But that did just happen a couple weeks ago. Everyone's acting like the Vikings are back.
Yeah.
Didn't look good a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I feel like I see where you're going with your pick.
Bold predictions.
Okay.
I'm going to mend the bold prediction that I mentioned the other day. Because I'm not sure this game does come down to a field goal. I said the other day, Cody Parkey, it's a game-winning field goal. Bold prediction.
You just said that like 10 minutes ago.
I'm amending that to Cody Parkey does not miss a kick in this game.
Okay. How many kicks does he attempt?
I have no idea, but if it's zero, then I still am right.
No. Absolutely not.
Well, the Bears...
You need to give us a number there.
The only way the Bears don't kick the ball in this game is if Matt Nagy decides to go for two all the time.
I know.
You think that's a possibility?
No, but...
Yeah. No, I don't know. Including extra points, he kicks the ball four times.
Okay. Four for four.
No, that's not what I'm saying. My prediction is he does not miss a kick.
Okay.
He comes back perfect, whatever the number is.
All right. I want a Trubisky bold prediction here.
Okay.
But I'm not picking them, so I'm kind of already revealing my pick.
Ooh.
Yes. But I think Mitch plays extremely well. People are forgetting this is a challenge for the defense, too. Like, there's a significant difference in terms of beating up on the Bills and kind of a down-and-out-of-it Matthew Stafford and Sam Darnold, as opposed to going up against the Vikings, who clearly have a lot to play for, who clearly have two very good and still kind of very underrated receivers in Kirk Cousins. They have to prove themselves, too. So I think Trubisky has a passer rating over 95. That's my bold prediction.
That's not that bold.
Okay, fine. Over 100.
Whoa, this guy's averaging like 120.
Okay, no, but you're talking about the Vikings.
I understand.
Okay. Average. Let me pull up some stats for you, stat man. Keep talking.
I'm just looking up his overall passer rating this season. His overall passer rating is 101.6.
That doesn't matter.
So if
hold
your
on.
Bold prediction is 95, that's no.
No.
Okay, hold on. You keep talking. I'm going to pull some stats up here for you, friend.
Well, let me respond to one thing you said in terms of the defense. I think it is a challenge for two people in particular, Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara, who, I don't know if you watched the tape that closely, but Prince Amukamara was starting to get picked on against the Lions a little bit, which usually had been in the past. Like last year, they didn't even throw Prince's way that much. But you're going up against Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. The Vikings do have two of the better receivers in football, and it's a good tandem if they're healthy. Thielen was on the injury report yesterday. Diggs practiced in full. But it's going to be a test for those guys. In terms of Kirk Cousins, I like Kirk Cousins now. I've come around on him. I've said that. Is he better than Matthew Stafford? Maybe. He's definitely not better than Tom Brady, though. So it's not like the Bears haven't faced a quarterback of this level. They faced Russell Wilson earlier this year. They faced Aaron Rodgers. They've had some breaks here and there with the Nathan Peterman thing and the Sam Darnold thing.
Yeah, they found their footing against those guys.
But, I mean, it's not like Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins doesn't scare me like Stephon Diggs and Adam.
So here's another thought I raised on Bears Beat Live earlier. Is as much as we want a statement game against or from Mitchell Trubisky, Kirk Cousins still needs to make a few statements about his own play.
Right. I mean, he's averaging 71% completion percentage.
It's outstanding. I get it.
Which is third in the league, and it's great. But
in terms of big games and winning them, isn't that one of the criticisms of him?
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Minnesota Vikings defense ranks 13th in passer rating, opposing passer rating, 90.2.
Okay.
So Mitchell Trubisky, I get he's over 100, but in terms of
to say he's 5 points over average.
I said over 100 there, my friend.
Okay.
I think that would be bold because in terms of facing teams that are pretty good in opposing passer rating, which includes the Bills, right? What did he have? 76.0, which includes New England. What did he have? 69.8. Just saying.
Probably not.
Okay,
just because you have that soundboard over there.
It is a dangerous, dangerous thing.
My pick?
Predictions.
Vikings 24-20, but I don't like it.
The reason why this qualifies as breaking news is because, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time that Adam Johns has picked.
See, everybody's making fun of me for this.
Against the Chicago Bears this entire season. It is week 11, everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're a good team, are they not?
The Bears are good.
Yes.
They're pretty good.
The only argument I would say for that in my defense, the only bold one, crazy one, is probably the Patriots one.
Yeah, I picked them to beat the Patriots, too.
Yeah.
I thought my boldest...
They were favored in every other game, but the Packers won.
My boldest prediction was the Packers. And they didn't hold up their end of the bargain. Well, it looked like they were going to.
They did for quite a while there until the defense kind of
imploded. Didn't I pick them like to win by 10, though? I think I did. Yeah. I mean, I went like crazy.
Yeah, you were... Yeah, oh yeah.
So I was feeling really good when they were up 20-0.
It looked good for a while.
Looked real good for a while. And then the second half was not so good.
Siesta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not if you're a Packer fan. I've gone back and forth on this game. I think it's going to be a tight ball game. I think it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be fun. I think you're going to see two good defenses out there. I go back to... I don't know that the Vikings are any better than the Patriots. Okay? The Bears gave up two special teams touchdowns in that game. They had a real shot to beat New England. And they didn't play a great football game. We're going to be honest. The defense was
not good.
They were still having tackling issues in that game. And Khalil Mack was not 100%. He played, but wasn't at the level where he's at now. I think the Patriots' offense is better than the Vikings. I know it's a weird thing to kind of just compare one game from 3 weeks ago to this, but that's what they keep going back to. The Bears didn't play their best game, and they still can sit here and say, man, shot themselves in the foot, probably should have beaten New England. Remember, wasn't that the game where Matt Nagy said, we did all of that stuff, and we are still right there 1 yard away on a Hail Mary?
So take that and think about that for a little bit.
That's where that quote's from.
Yep.
So take that and think about that for a little bit. I guess that's what I've been doing this week.
You've taken it. And you've thought about it.
I've been taking that, and I've been thinking about it.
What do you got? Say it.
I think the Bears win. Now, the one thing I'm shaky on is the kicker.
Did you just say he's going to make all?
That's
what
I'm saying. Well, that's what. Come on, let's be honest.
You are flip flopping like a certain radio broadcaster.
Flipper. You know, I'm getting on the chopper tonight, though. I'm gonna go verify the kicking, the swing of the leg. I saw one kick last night on television. Hey, it was a great kick. It was right down the middle. Seen exclusively on WGN. My bold prediction is going to be they mix them all.
Okay.
Then I have to pick the Bears to win.
Yeah, probably right.
All right, so that's what I'm going with. But I'll be honest. What am I basing that off of? I'm flipping a coin. He's either going to struggle again. Isn't this a situation where you either make the first one and you're in a groove, you get your confidence back, or you miss it and you're screwed?
And then you're going through this hole. Doink, doink, doink again. I think it's going to be a great game. And
awesome game. 20-13.
Okay.
Ooh. I think the defense locks them down.
Yeah.
I think the defense is for real. I think Khalil Mack's back. I think, boy, if that first game was any, first two games are any indication, he likes the primetime spotlight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just want to kind of throw this out there.
Okay.
So I asked Matt Nagy yesterday about, hey, did you watch Eagles Super Bowl or Eagles NFC Championship against them? Because Eagles took it to them, right?
Yeah.
Great defense. Just like the Bears have a great defense.
Oh, yeah, they got
RPOs,
exposed.
Similar. I'm just saying, you know, part of me would not be surprised if we saw some offensive fireworks from the Bears in the early going here and then make it stand up.
That brings me to something I wanted to make sure I said, though. I think it's very important the Bears score early because, let's be honest, Mitch likes the scripted stuff early.
Yeah.
And even against some of these better defenses, he's had success, and then it's kind of gone away.
Yeah. Well, see, part of me, though, also, look, at some point, he's going to need some experiences and some... He had some against the Cardinals, I guess, where he was down all game and playing from behind. Yeah. Like, he's got to be in that hole every once in a while.
I'd be worried if, after the first two series, the Bears have 0 points. That would worry me.
What if it's still 0-0?
Well, it still worries me about the offense. I don't think the Bears are going to fall behind big if that happens. But okay. I just think, for their sake... Because I think Mike Zimmer will adjust to whatever happens. You know Nagy's going to have stuff up his sleeve. He always does. So, again, it's imperative that Mitch takes advantage of those opportunities. You have to hit the guys when they're open. He did it last week, and he looked great.
Well, even just going back to the Patriots game, in terms of his own production and his own efficiency, is the Anthony Miller wide open game. Three of them, right?
Yeah.
Missed for touchdowns.
Yep.
Did you read Albert Breer's...
That's when I added him to my fantasy team. Yeah, so, that really paid off.
Right. So, yeah. Well, since then, Albert Breer had a column after the Lions game where he talked to Nagy for a little bit, and there was a part of it that stood out to me. You know the long throw to Trey Burton over the middle? Big gain. Got tackled kind of right away.
Which game is this again?
The Lions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had a reception over the middle. Yeah. That was the same exact play call. The wide open intercepted throw against the Bills. Same exact one.
Oh.
Hit him right in the numbers, first down.
I'm telling you, some of the throws. I mean, I know like the one where Allen Robinson won at the line of scrimmage and then he's wide open, he catches it, and he scores.
Yeah.
That play still required the throw to hit him perfectly in stride in the numbers, or otherwise I think he was actually going to be tackled there. If the ball's behind him, he gets tackled. If it's ahead of him, it's incomplete.
Right.
Mitch hit him in stride, which we always talk about this on our Northwestern broadcast with Clayton Thorson, because Clayton sometimes completes passes, but they're not
in stride.
And Northwestern doesn't have the wide receivers that can just get open all the time. A lot of these are tight throws where they're slants, and they need to be caught. And it's the difference between a 3-yard gain and a 20-yard gain. And sometimes the pass isn't in stride. So Flynn Nagel might catch it, but then he gets tackled. And it's so important. And I'm telling you, you go back and watch the tape from Sunday. Mitch was just, everything was...
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just getting back to the point which Nagy always says. He corrects his mistakes, doesn't make the same mistakes twice. Mm-hmm. Just look at all the over routes that he missed early on to Taylor Gabriel that he now has hit since then.
It's a good point. Joe, what do you think about this game?
Biggest game of the season. Biggest game since the 2013 NFC North Divisional Championship game against the Packers.
Yep.
You know,
the Chris Conte game.
The Chris Conte game, yeah. You had to bring him up. But the Vikings are coming off a bye. They rested Stephon Diggs knowing that this was going to be a big game. I think the Vikings come in here and outplay the Bears by a little bit. I think it's close, but I think the Vikings win 21-16.
21-16, all right. Yeah, bunch of doubters here.
Two-point conversions. You know why.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, listener over-unders. Let's just stick with the theme. This one is from, it's got a really long, at Leonard 42. Over-under Cody Parkey references of helicopter shots during the broadcast.
I like that one.
Line set at 1.5.
Over.
You think it gets
over.
Mentioned?
Over.
Yeah, I think it gets mentioned twice.
Yes. Yes.
Like maybe one time where they actually show. They can't show the footage, but maybe like a screenshot or something.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be a helicopter going by.
I think it gets
maybe there's another helicopter flyover.
There was a helicopter flyover.
Yes.
How come those helicopters could fly over?
Yeah. Huh?
Huh? All right.
Let's go to our NBC helicopter.
They might have a blimp shot. They usually have some good aerial footage. Well, the games are... You can film the games. So I'm told. All right. There's your Bears-Vikings prediction. I'm the only one taking the Bears. I don't blame... I mean, I don't...
I made my pick. I don't like it, but I think it's going to be a great game.
Don't like it. Let's move on. Packers. Seahawks. We always pick the Packer game. They happen to be playing tonight. So it only matters if you listen to this in the next 4 hours from when we're recording right now. So sorry about that. We'll make it brief. Packers at Seahawks. Are you surprised that Seattle's a 3-point favorite?
No.
At home?
Not at all.
Yeah, me neither.
Tough place to play. Basically, your home field advantage spread. Packers have not won at home or won on the road this year. They're 0-4.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the Seahawks. Winning outright. Yes.
Stop. Very demanding. Stop talking.
I'm crappy. I haven't given orders to people since 3:30 this morning about what to do. Go back to bed, son. Put your pillow back up on your bed.
Yeah.
I guess I am a communist. Total communist. Share your pillow.
You know what? For some reason, I think this game is going to be close. It usually is. I think the Seahawks will pull it out, but it wouldn't even surprise me if this ends up being a push on the number. But since I think it's going to be close and Packers are getting 3, I'm going to take Green Bay. Joe?
Yeah, I agree with John Z. Not only are the Packers winless on the road, but they haven't covered on the road either. I think that both teams are starting to find a running game, so the best play might be the under rather than playing a side. But, I'm taking the Seahawks, and they'll cover the spread.
Big opportunity, by the way. Packers lose, Bears win. There's some distance there now.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's enough that if for some reason you lose that game,
I mean, even if Bears lose, this game's important. It feels... How about this? It's good to watch the scoreboard again.
Yeah.
And maybe the best promo for a Thursday night game that I've ever seen with the Hasselbeck and the, we want the ball, we're going to score. And what was the other thing? The Seahawks beating the Packers in the NFC Championship game. I mean,
yeah,
I think they did a great job. Should be fun to watch.
Here's one reason, though, why I especially think this game is huge for Green Bay. Have you seen their December schedule? Like, they're in a really tough stretch right now, okay? They had to go on the road to L.A. They had to go on the road to New England. They hosted Miami. Now they go to Seattle and then Minnesota next week. They're on the road. That is a very tough schedule. But have you seen it after that? Cardinals at home. Falcons at home. Falcons.
I don't know what they are.
They're all over the place, but in Green Bay... In December, I'll take Green Bay in that game. Okay, then they got to come to Soldier Field. It's imperative the Bears win that game. That's by far the toughest game they have left on their schedule after they go to Minnesota. But then they have the Jets and the Lions. So 4 out of their last 5 games are Cardinals, Falcons, Jets, Lions. So you can't really count them out if they somehow win this game. And even if they lose to the Vikings next week, it's not out of the picture. We've seen Aaron Rodgers go on runs before.
Yeah. Has he said relax yet? Has he spelled it out?
I don't think he has. And by the way,
I don't think he wants to. There's something amiss up there. We've been talking about
And to be clear, I'm not changing my thinking on that. I still believe that, and I would actually be shocked if they were to win their last 5 games, okay? But it is worth pointing out the schedule. That it softens up considerably. That's why I think this game is so huge for them. Because you lose this week, you're probably not beating Minnesota next week. And then what does that put them at? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you're 4, 6, and 1 at that point. You're in a whole bunch of trouble.
Probably lose to the Lions again.
You think so? In Green Bay?
Yeah, because they're not good.
What's that? All right, let's move on.
And that is a clean pick by Kurt Fuller.
Should have pulled the Brian Callahan one. I didn't, though.
Brian's been playing well. So is Kurt.
Brian and Kurt. Good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Good secondary guys. Panthers, they go to Detroit this weekend. The Lions are 4-point underdogs at home. Noon Sunday on Fox.
Panthers. Can you pick the Lions now?
They seem to be really spiraling. But they're, you know, what game was it a few weeks ago where I was just like, this is where the Lions lay an egg and lose? They could also just, this like, they beat the Patriots.
Yeah, yeah.
They killed the Patriots earlier.
It's an anomaly. And say that right?
Yeah, I don't think so. But the Panthers did come off that big loss to Pittsburgh last week, so I'm going to say that motivates them. Ron Rivera is a good coach. They come back, get the win. Do they cover? Yeah, I think they cover.
No, they cover. I think they blow them out.
Yeah. Joe?
Yeah, I agree. You know, Lions showed some life at the end of the game last week, but I thought that was more because the Bears had just kind of, they were done playing them. And like you said, the Panthers were embarrassed on national TV. I talked last week about how much I like that offense. I think they get it rolling up in the dome. They cover the spread easily.
It's Jay Cutler.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Haven't heard that one.
Yeah,
hey,
it's been a while.
Yeah. Here's a couple teams we haven't talked about a whole lot, but I think it's an intriguing game this week, and that's why we're picking it. The Titans go to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Colts have been a little surprising.
So over the Titans. And the big win against the Patriots. Mike Vrabel beating his old coach.
It's a big AFC South matchup here.
Who's the better team? I don't know. I think the
Titans are.
Yeah.
They have a really good defense.
Can I just say one thing about the Colts? How disappointing is it that that screaming video of Quentin Nelson pulling and burying that linebacker is not real?
It's not real?
Am I breaking your heart? You did not know that?
No.
No, it's not real.
The Colts put it out there.
I know. And Quentin Nelson said it's not real.
What?
Yeah. They meshed two things together.
Okay, look, if you're going to this is serious. If you're going to have all these media restrictions and try to get everyone to follow your team content, you can't put out fake content.
No.
That actually pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because that video was awesome. And Quentin Nelson's awesome.
And now Adam's going to pick the Titans. Let me confirm that.
I'm picking the Titans. Screw the Colts. They're not my least favorite team in the NFL.
Let's get to the investigative chopper.
Yes. Let's get on they got a dome there. Lucas Oil Stadium's probably closed. They got to get it ready for the Big Ten Championship game. I mean, WGN Radio is coming in hot. We're invading that place. I'm picking the... Especially because the Colts are 2-point favorites here, I'm taking the Titans. Noon Sunday on CBS.
I like the Titans too.
Me too. The Colts actually lost 4 games in a row, have won 3 in a row. I think I saw a stat about Andrew Luck not being sacked for over a month. So they're playing well, but you know the Titans are coming off beating two of America's teams in the Cowboys and the Patriots. I'm taking the Titans to keep that rolling and beating the Colts in Indy.
Okay, so apparently Quentin Nelson does scream on his pulls.
Okay.
But that wasn't him screaming on that pull. Hold on.
But was it
this him? Is like a controversy. He screams. He screams.
So that was actually him screaming?
Yes, but...
But they took it from a different one and put it over the video they finally had of him.
Yes. Yes, here's from the Indy Star. Audio screaming Colts guard Quentin Nelson is not real. But he does scream. I wasn't yelling, not on that play. I don't know how it got amped up like that. That's what he said. Are you crying over there?
Holy Moses.
Next game.
Just don't. I feel like I was
betrayed.
Lied to. I feel like I was
lied
to.
We were lied to.
It's just really disappointing. I hate the Colts. strong word, and I mean it. Eagles at Saints. They don't lie about their videos. They probably do. Sean Payton was going off on our guy, Josh
Kassenstein. How about that one? Yeah. Is that enough for you, Josh? No? Didn't think so.
Jesus. Eagles at Saints. Saints an 8.5. Boy, the Saints are just rolling through everybody. Yeah. 8.5-point favorites. Can't figure out the Eagles. They're really having a hangover of a season at this point. 4-5. It doesn't even feel like they're 4-5.
They're still in first place under the division.
Who is?
The Eagles.
No, they're not.
Yeah. They're tied for first place with the 4-5 Cowboys.
No, the Redskins are 6-3, buddy.
That's right.
I know
that's
it's
right.
Hard
that's
to
right. I forgot about the Washington Redskins.
I know it's hard to remember them, but they're still up there. They're not good either, though.
No, they're not good.
It kind of feels like the Saints are due for a letdown, but honestly, the way these teams have been playing, it seems like the Saints should be like double.
No, Saints are winning big.
They should be double-digit favorites, yes. I feel like. So yeah. I'm taking New Orleans. This is your 325 game Sunday.
Saints are winning big. Yeah, there's something not right going on in Philadelphia right now.
Yeah, after getting shocked by the Bucs, they've won 8 in a row, and this is pretty cool. Their drive chart against the Bengals last week. Sorry, I just had it up and now it closed. Touchdown, 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 field goal, touchdown, field goal, end of game. They scored on every possession until the game ended.
Wow. That's
domination.
And they tried not to score. They tried not to score at the end, is my understanding.
So, I mean, they're rolling on all cylinders. They got some fun stuff going on in the red zone, putting in Taysom Hill. That's a big number against a defending champion, but it's hard not to go with the Saints. So yeah, I'm picking New Orleans.
All right, you know, anyone want to lock that one up?
Too big a number to lock.
Okay. I wanted to lock the Panthers.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Yeah, I think, well done. It'd be well said.
I'll tell you where I'm locking up. The Chiefs, Monday night game, 7:15 on ESPN. This game was moved from Mexico, the actual Mexico.
Not the new one?
Not the new one, old one, old Mexico.
Old Mexico.
Mexico City. And as a result of the game moving back to LA, the line swung more in the Rams' favor.
As it should.
I think it went from like 1 to 3. The Rams are 3.5-point favorites. I think the Chiefs are just as good as the Rams. Maybe the defense isn't quite as good, but the Rams are...
Neither defense is quite as good.
Rams are coming off a loss, finally. And I don't see the Chiefs getting slowed down, really.
I don't think either team's going to be slowed down. This is going to be like a 45-42 game.
Wow. I just think like the line was closer to where it should have been when this game was in Mexico. Not New Mexico, Old Mexico. Now it's in L.A. The L.A. is not a home field advantage. You see the Packers game there a few weeks ago? It was like a home. It looked like a Lambeau Field West. Give me the Chiefs.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Wouldn't surprise me if the Rams still win, but yeah. I'm getting three and a half.
Yeah. No, I like the Rams, actually. This is going to be a high-scoring affair. Just in terms of like comparing the Bears again to like some of these other contending teams, and it is quite different to use contending in terms with the Bears, their defense is probably the best.
So did you guys watch Monday Night Football this past week? Giants and 49ers?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I did. Yeah.
So if that was in Mexico City and their star players were complaining about footing, do you think they would have moved it?
Did you see the field?
Yeah, it looked
really not playable.
I would say
it was that bad.
Yes, because you had the players' union involved. Yeah. And
I think it would have
been. It was the right call.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we'll never know, but I agree. I think they would have, but I just think it's funny that like ESPN finally gets a marquee game and it's in Mexico City and you know the field is unplayable. So I'm glad they made the move. And Adam, I totally agree that the Chiefs, I mean, they look unstoppable. Rams are... You know, their defense is good, but they've been susceptible to some big plays. I'll take the Chiefs. If you're giving me points, I'll take them.
And I misspoke. The Rams are not coming off a loss. They lost to the Saints 2 weeks ago. They beat Seattle on Sunday. So it's
we're tired. Look, I completely forgot the Washington Redskins existed.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I'm all for racist teams not existing, but not that the people in the
I was ready to give the division to the Cowboys and the Eagles.
But right? Okay. Yeah. All right. What do we got next? I guess we're up to our college games already, huh?
Oh, can't wait.
Oh yeah, I know. It's a tough slate this week. I'll be honest, not a good slate. But we'll start in Minnesota. I don't know. Like, I know Vegas sets the spreads based on just getting the action, mostly 50-50. So, I don't know. Do we blame the public more for this or Vegas? Joe, you know more about this than me. But how many weeks in a row does Northwestern have to be doubted from a standpoint of the spread? I mean, they were 10.5-point dogs last week going into Iowa, a game that you and I thought they would win, and they did. Now they're the underdog in Minnesota. Minnesota's favored by 1 point in this game.
Makes no sense.
Okay, as long as you're with me on that too, Joe.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that's going into this that the public's looking at and why they're betting Minnesota.
Letdown game?
Well, not just letdown, like, they're in this weird 2-week window where the games
don't matter
in terms of winning the Big Ten. I'll tell you why they do matter, though. For one, it's just not Pat Fitzgerald's style to just start resting guys for the Big Ten championship. He's going to play his guys. He's going to try to win these games. They're Big Ten West games, but they also impact the bowl. You know, you lose these two games, you could end up in a worse bowl. You win and then even lose the Big Ten championship game. Right now, they're slated for the Citrus Bowl, which is one of the better bowls. It's in Florida, nice weather. Everyone's having a good
time. Oh, I know. I see the.
Oh, yeah. It benefits.
Yeah. I see.
If it benefits the sideline guy, don't you think the coaches and the players are thinking the same thing?
You're going to be cold up there this weekend. You're thinking about sunny Florida. I get it. What did you say it's going to be the other day? 20 degrees?
You know,
how many layers are you going there, my friend?
I purposely have not been checking this because I've been dreading.
You have to prepare for the situation, my friend.
I understand, and especially because I'm leaving in like 12 hours. I better start packing. Hang on. Let's check the old Weather Channel app here. I got Minneapolis on speed dial. Ooh, I guess not speedy enough. 24. Holding steady at 24.
That's too bad.
Low of 11.
Sun's out.
Winds.
Guns
out. Sunny.
Okay,
sunny.
That helps.
It is 11 a.m. game, so it will be in the light the whole time. These 2:30 games this time, it's dark by
halftime. It's dark, yeah.
North-northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour. That's a little on the windy side.
Yeah.
It's going to be cold.
Get those long johns on, my friend.
I was fine in Iowa. Honest to God, I was fine. I know how to, at this point, I'm in my fourth year doing this. I can.
No, you're a seasoned vet.
I can dress for the occasion.
Okay. My pick, hashtag go Cats. They're going to win.
I like it too. I get why the people might think this is going to be a letdown, but I don't see it. Joe?
Yeah, there's a pride factor here. And, you know, playing in the division, and I'm sure, Adam, you have all these numbers about how well they played in the West, how well they played on the road. There's something about finishing the season on a high note rather than just kind of, you know, closing your eyes and walking into Indy and playing whoever comes out of the East. I think that, you know, there's been some bulletin board material here with, oh, they won the West in a down year. Instead of giving them credit for going into Iowa, a tough place to play, and totally, you know, really dominating that game and beating Wisconsin, I think that Fitz gets the boys ready to play and they go into Minnesota and take care of business.
That's a good point. Look, we knew it was coming, that the doubters were going to come out and you know, it's going to continue to happen for the next couple weeks until the Big Ten championship game. Everyone around the program understands that. But they came out fast this week already. So fast enough that Fitz can use it as bulletin board material this week. Do you know what the final score was last year in the Northwestern-Minnesota game?
I do not.
It was not good.
It was 39-0.
Oh, yeah.
And who's favored on Saturday? The team that lost. The team that scored 0 points in that game. I realize it was a year ago, but come on. It's not a 39-point difference in a year.
Go Cats!
Adam Jones!
Do you know when that audio is from? Do you remember?
I don't know. You bring it up all the time and I forget because I don't care.
That one day, that one reporter was bold enough to pick the Bears at home on primetime against the Vikings.
Oh.
A few years ago. It was 2010 win.
Okay.
Yeah. Just saying.
Wasn't Pat the only one who picked the game a few weeks ago?
No, he picked like, I think he picked the Lions last week because he just wanted not everybody pick the Bears, which I don't always agree with. Lions stink. Come on, yeah. Pat.
Yeah, they're bad. This is really the only good game of the weekend. Number 12, Syracuse. Number 3, Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium. Have you seen the uniforms that Notre Dame's wearing in this game?
No, you got them up?
I don't have them up, but they're bad.
They're ugly.
Joe, have you seen them?
I have, and they are bad.
So they try to make them like baseball.
Oh.
So the sleeves are actually, just the sleeves are pinstripes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the Stadium Series for Notre Dame.
Is Ian Book playing? Sorry.
No, that's all right. It's in New York, where Syracuse is, but Notre Dame is the home team.
Right, yeah, it's Notre Dame's home game, which I find interesting. They only had 6 games in South Bend this year.
Let's Google this.
And yeah, Ian Book is, Brian Kelly actually said like super early in the week that Book is playing, which is surprising, but yeah.
I mean, the line is 10.5. And a lot of places have it at 10. We're going to go with 10.5. Syracuse has been pretty good, though. I'm gonna say Syracuse hangs around and covers. Notre Dame wins.
I like Notre Dame. I can't find these jerseys. That's my analysis. I can't find these jerseys. Yeah. I got like this ugly orange coat that showed up. Look at this. This is what comes up when you search Notre Dame Syracuse jerseys. That's not them.
That's just bad Google practice.
Yes.
Gotta do Notre Dame Yankees jerseys. I guarantee they come up.
Oh, okay. Anyway, with Ian Book back, I thought the Irish played well last week, even without him. Oh, it's like a... What is that?
Yeah, they're just bad. They're bad jerseys.
It's like a soccer jersey.
Yeah, for our listeners, just got Google Notre Dame Yankees jerseys, and it'll come up. They're not good.
Yeah.
Do not Google Notre Dame Syracuse jerseys. Wait till you see when you get with that.
Joe, go ahead.
Tough test for Notre Dame's defense. Syracuse can throw the ball around a little bit. I just don't think they can hang with Notre Dame. I give a lot of credit, though, to Wimbush for coming in last week and really playing his ass off. That was a good game for those guys, and I think they start rolling here, and you know they're going to be undefeated. Just saying.
Yeah, it might be.
So this is my first time ever doing this, so yeah, don't give me too hard of a time.
Oh, Mitch on Ryan.
Number 16, Iowa State at number 15, Texas. Anybody?
I have zero thoughts.
You want to go to Cincinnati, Central Florida?
No.
Those are the only two ranked matchups where both teams are ranked.
Okay. Who is the matchup again?
Iowa State at Texas.
I'm going Texas.
I'll go long. Hook 'em. The Tom Herman stuff this week.
Ooh.
Hook 'em.
Yeah, defense plays. Iowa State's been playing pretty well defensively, and the quarterback Purdy has been doing pretty well for the Cyclones. So I'm going to take the Iowa State Cyclones to cover and maybe even win outright, so you can lock that bad boy up.
Ooh.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
All right.
Fun show. I need to finish a story and go to bed.
Good luck driving home. I'm already home. Yeah. I'm shutting it down. Shutting it down.
I'm actually going to stick around and finish my work.
You're more than welcome. You can use my office. Yeah. You can stay here and get work, as much work.
You're not going to hang out?
Avoid. Well, I will. Just downstairs with a drink. How's that sound?
Fine. What podcast partner are you on? Joe, looking for a new podcast partner. What are you doing?
My dude, what's up?
Swooping right in there. All right. Well, then you can follow Adam Johns. J-A-H-N-S at Joe Romano, at Joey Joro. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You guys want to take all Thanksgiving weekend?
Yo, I'm going to Columbus, by the way, so this might be my last podcast.
What's going to happen in Columbus?
I'm going to Columbus for Michigan, Ohio State.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. That could be your last podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be a fun game.
Yeah. This could be it. So thanks for everything, guys.
You got to spot the Michigan... little conflict of interest there?
I don't think there's any conflict of interest, man.
But if you're spotting...
Oh, no, there's no spotting involved. I'm just going there to be...
Dave, that's this guy, and it's not really this guy. Just start, you know, sabotaging everything.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that to Dave. I know. No. All right. Follow us on Twitter. Read our stuff. Rate the podcast. Do it. Big game Sunday. Should be a lot of fun. We'll talk to you from Soldier Field late on Sunday night.
Mitch, do you have me? Mitch! Mitch, do you have me? Okay, good.